You are listening to the Improv Save My Life podcast, brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. All right, welcome to episode 82 of the Improv Save My Life podcast. I'm your host, Tom Boyer. This podcast is brought to you on Bits, the Boston Improv Talk Station. Two guests this week, Max Kreisky. What's going on?
You know, this and that. Lots of stuff.
And Mark Campisano. What's going on?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. Both Max and Mark are part of Max and Mark, our very popular and awesome two-person duo with some tricks up their sleeve, which I saw, I think, last Saturday night, and I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. They were both also cast members of the Improv Boston Herald team Viceroy, which just ended its run.
Yeah, we have one show left at DCM at midnight. Come see it in New York.
Are you both cast in new Herald teams?
Callbacks are this weekend, so we'll see. Mark is.
I'm leaving in August.
Yeah, he's moving to California to pursue a master's degree.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And we're all poorer for it.
And Mark was in improvised field trip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you were both members of Charisse the Bear.
Way back in the day. And I do Magic the Gathering, the show as well, which.
Is that the Riot Theater?
It is at the Riot, yeah. The first Saturday of every month, except for July, because that's the 4th of July and no one will come.
How does that show work? Does you use magic cards?
So two powerful wizards get into an argument, play a game of Magic the Gathering against each other, and then they're in character the whole time, and then the rest of the team comes out and acts as the characters on their cards, acting out the turns that they play. But it's not just like, oh, I play this and I hit you. It's like, who are these characters? Why are they fighting for these wizards? What do they care about? You know.
Is there a winner?
Oh, yeah. Well, if we go long enough. sometimes we call a draw. But it's usually, once or twice we've had someone, like, actually get down to zero life in our hour and a half show. But most of the times, like, whoever looks like they're doing worse concedes, you know.
Gotcha. Does it draw a lot of Magic the Gathering fans?
We'll see here. Our first show, we only had 12 people in the audience, but ever since then, we've never dipped below 30.
That's awesome. Wow. Especially for Riot.
That's most of the audience.
Yeah.
We also have a lot of, like, kids come see it, which is kind of cool. But we swear a little more than we probably should in front of them, but...
Kids like swearing.
They do. They really love swears. Especially wizard swears.
Merlin's beer.
Fuck, my wand just went out of juice.
Oh, okay.
What? Wizards say fuck.
Sure.
So why don't we just go through your biographies a little bit. Max, where are you from originally?
I'm from Lexington, Massachusetts. Grew up in Lexington, went to school there, went to college in Pennsylvania, came back here afterwards. Yeah.
Cool. You from a big family?
Small nuclear family, you know, mom, my dad, my brother, and me. And some cats. All kitty cats.
Ooh. Were you always into comedy when you were younger?
I've always liked to laugh. Like, I always listened to a lot of, like, stand-up and, like, watched a lot of, like, comedy stuff. I've always, you know, I'd say I didn't really get into, like, doing comedy until high school. When I discovered Whose Line Is It Anyway and my school's improv team. And this thing called Drama of Social Issues Workshop, which was like a quarterly sketch show that like we'd used improv into sketch to make sketch stuff, and I got into all of that in a big way. But yeah, I don't know. I was always just a weird kid, and it seemed like I was weird in the way that people, you know, found funny.
Cool. Do you still do sketch?
Rarely.
Yeah.
I have one or two things. I'm looking to, now that I've got a bit more time on my hands, I'm looking to maybe start up a similar type of improv into sketch show. But that's literally just, like, an idea I've been kicking around with some people I, you know, who, like, seem like they'd be into it. No actual work has been done.
So you took improv in high school as, what, like, elective or
something? Yeah, it was a class.
Did you study that in college as well, or did you join an improv team?
Yeah, I was a theater minor in college. And I joined my school's improv team, which was Zombie Bitch Slap, or ZBS.
Nice.
Which was a lot of fun. My senior year, I directed it, which was a really good time with my my friend Tucker Bacon. We were, you know, our titles were First Banana and Second Banana, because we're a whimsical college improv group.
Who was first banana?
I was first banana.
Nice.
You didn't go top banana?
No, man. But everyone assumed Tucker was first banana because he was more confident and also a theater major.
Gotcha.
It was occasionally a problem of some dispute between us because he thought it didn't matter and I wanted to be first banana. So, of course, everyone assumed he was.
If that simmered long enough, it could have become a banana split.
Boo.
So after college, you moved back to Boston area?
Yep. Moved back in with my folks for a little while. I worked at Tufts for a bit. And I decided I wanted to keep doing improv. So I started taking classes at IB. I formed an improv practice group, Shirt East the Bear. And I just kept doing it, you know? I went through the 6 levels of Improv Boston, kept trying to get cast. It took me like a year after I got through all 6 levels to get onto something at the theater. But yeah, it was a good time.
That's where I first remember seeing you, was at the Cambridge YMCA show with Charisse the Bear.
Yeah, back when Just Suspects was running the show, yeah.
Right.
That's such a weird room, man, but it's so fun.
I just brought it back, doing a monthly show there, yeah.
Oh, cool. I think a monthly show is better than a weekly show there, because you can actually get people to come to a monthly show.
Yeah, exactly. So I had this question for the longest time. There was one show where, for some reason, you did a standing backflip or something like that.
I did a round off. Yeah,
Max used to do. I forgot you did this because you haven't done it in a while. A lot of unnecessary acrobatics.
It's a skill, man. You gotta use everything at your disposal.
You toned it down.
I toned it down a lot.
But I think people were trying to get you to do like a second one, and you wouldn't do it. I'm like, is he like?
I got all up in my head. I'm like, oh, do a round off, and then I was like, I don't want to make the scene about me doing round offs. It's like,
I don't know if it was a safety concern. I'm like, what is happening here? I want to see another one too.
I was just a shitty improviser.
It costs him 50 agility points to do that. He was fresh out.
Listen, man, I have to trade a child's soul to the devil every time I want to do a round off, and I was fresh out of infants.
I got dark.
Yeah. Well, you know.
So you just talked about auditioning several times before you got cast.
Mm-hmm.
I just auditioned for Improv Boston for the first time.
Congratulations.
Thanks. It was a cool experience. I didn't get a call back, but, I mean, that's understandable. It's the first time, and I don't think I did anything to particularly stand out in my audition.
It's a really weird environment, too. Like, it's doing improv in an environment you would never do improv in, sort of thing.
I have never liked auditions for improv. Because it's the opposite of regular. It's competitive.
Yeah,
you're pushing people off stage. Normal improv is about cooperation.
I don't really understand the freeze portion of it.
Man, you're asking the wrong two dudes. I think it's just to see like how willing you are to get out there and like be inspired and shit.
So I a couple times. There's 20 people doing this, and you get out there, and before you even get anybody got a line out, like, it was frozen again. I'm like, come on, you gotta work with us a little here.
That's why,
And it balloons up to, like, 6 to 8 people. It's a mess. I think they're just looking for people who can fucking deal with it calmly. Like, I have no idea what they're trying to see, because they're certainly not seeing good improv in those.
Right.
Although I did raise a flag and say Iwo Jima, so, I mean, I'm probably a master. Nah, man, it's just like, it's tough. And I really respect people who can do, who can like perform well in that. I saw like some good shit in my audition, like under freeze tag conditions. And I was like, how the hell are they doing that? Made me jealous.
So if you're on a top shelf team, you have to re-audition?
You get a free callback to top shelf. It was easy when we were on Viceroy because we knew Viceroy was just coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't in this round because I'm gone. But yeah, if you're on top shelf, even if your team is, if you're on any team, you get a free callback for that show.
Yeah.
If Viceroy was continuing, would you just carry over to the next round with Viceroy?
You'd have to go to callbacks, but unless there was a serious problem, you continue with.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I auditioned because even though you get the free pass to your show, I wanted to see if I could stretch my legs a little bit. Get into some new stuff, next big thing. I'm real excited for Top Shelf callbacks, though, because they're so fun. And I'm, honestly, Harold Knight's where my heart is. I love the format. I really love getting to do weird, funky scenes that, you can just take your time with weird, funky people.
I went a couple weeks ago and I saw Viceroy, and it was a cool structure. You guys were in, I think it was an eye exam place in a mall or a dentist in a mall. It
could have been all those things
at once. It could have been a dentist for people who are just big eyeballs. No, that doesn't sound right.
I remember an eye exam scene, but I think it was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
You were a kid that was hanging out in the, I think it was a dentist's office.
Did Mark sit me on his shoulders?
No, that was a long time ago. I was an old man at a mall.
Oh, no. And Jack was like
the dentist.
No, you're
talking about Nixon's mono scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But we'll take credit for that. That's fine.
Look, I mean,
we're all the same.
We're a viceroy. Nixon was a president.
Let's talk about Nixon.
I saw you at that show. I guess I'm identifying the wrong scene. But I enjoyed that whole night. It was good.
I think we were on that night.
Yeah, we were
on
that night.
Yeah.
I went because it was, I don't know, Andy Devlin's birthday or something. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, that was, I remember that show.
A
few weeks ago. It was a fun show. I think that was just after we got the news that we were getting dissolved, too. So we were all kind of down, man.
It was good. So, Mark, why don't you take us through kind of where you grew up?
Sure. I was born in New York City, but I grew up most of my life in New Jersey. After college, I moved out here for work. That was in early 2012. Later that year, on a whim, kind of, I started showing up at the drop-ins, the Yaps. Max was like one of the first people I began recognizing on a regular basis.
Oh, man, I remember the first conversation we had.
Yeah, it's not...
man, he said
Max was incessantly making puns to me in the lobby in that adorable way that he does. And I had seen him in Yap, and my words to him was, "Max, you're so funny when you're on stage."
Nice. And you're so shitty when you're on stage.
Sorry about that. But yeah, I kept going to Yap. I made friends with Max and Todd Page and Dennis Bruno. They invited me to join their practice group, Charisse the Bear. That started for me in early 2013, and they also encouraged me to start taking the classes, which I did, started right then, and went through all six in a row. From there, it became just a huge hobby for me, got very hooked on it. That December, Viceroy formed up. We've been doing that for a year and a half. I do this crazy show with Max. Sometimes I do little one-man sketch things, and I'm just jumping from thing to thing, enjoying this as, you know, a fantastic social scene, a fantastic hobby.
How does a one-man sketch work?
You get up there and you say things. I just do a few little one-person things. I have a tendency, it's not stand-up. It's not, because I'm in character. My favorite one I've did, do you know who H.P. Lovecraft is?
He's a writer. Correct?
He's the writer who invented, like, Cthulhu. I do a sketch where he's trying to do stand-up comedy, but all of his jokes take place in this horrible world full of demons, and he doesn't understand that the audience isn't quite on his plane at the end to get attacked by demons. I did that at a show. I had a really fun time. Last month and this month, on June 11th, I'm in something called, what are they calling it? They're calling it Community Television at Sketch House, where it's one-man things. I'm doing a presentation about millennials that has a hook that I will not spoil. But I did last month for... It's Caitlin Buckley and Luke Bruno who run this show. I did this professor who was presenting his findings to a science conference. And his partners on the presentation are his wife and a third person. And as he's presenting, it slowly becomes obvious that the other two are having an affair. He's bitter about it, if you read between the lines. So I just like these one-person kind of presentations with these weird characters.
Do you just, like, identify something you think is funny and you're like, maybe this will work as a one-person sketch?
They usually come out of my conversations with other people. The Lovecraft thing came out of a conversation with my friend Eric Tregaser, who does a lot of sketch. It's, like, half his idea. The scientist came out of my job, where I read a lot of academic papers, and they're really dry. I'm just imagining stories behind them. I don't know where the millennials things is rooted in a tweet I came up with, but I don't want to spoil what's fun about that one.
Cool. cool.
For all these people who are going to see it.
And you're moving in...
I'm going to Stanford in August, pursuing a master's in ed technology.
Are you going to continue doing improv and sketch?
I hope so.
Yeah.
If I have time, I know they have instructors there.
Nice. So do you guys want to talk about Max and Mark are very popular?
You know
sure. That's why we're here.
Yeah. So where'd you guys come up with the concept, and just kind of walk us through what it is?
Well, we'll walk you through the backstory.
Yeah, we hang out a lot.
And we were in a lot of shows together when we started coming up with this. So we were seeing a lot of each other, and originally we were hanging out in Inman Square, and we went to this bookstore that used to be there, Lorem Ipsum. So originally this whole idea started out as we're going to do two-man Seinfeld.
I wouldn't say the idea started as that. I said that was one of the ideas we rejected. We knew we wanted to do a two-man show, but when we hang out with each other, we had a tendency to just, like, grab ketchup bottles and pepper shakers and start talking.
Yeah. We were at, we went to see the Lego movie with the rest of Viceroy, and Mark did...
By the rest of Viceroy, he means just Nils.
Nils,
our director.
Nils and Devlin.
Was he there?
Yeah.
Sure. Right.
Yeah. And so we started. Mark started doing the voice of the theater and be like, why don't you go see 12 Years a Slave? It's winning an Oscar.
It's kind of like how people give voices to, like, dogs sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
And then one day, like, we had all these thoughts about doing these two-man shows. Mm-hmm. And we're like, this should be our show.
Yeah.
And Max had a thing where he carried around googly eyes just in case he needed them.
First of all, it's a great first date to go around with a lady and, like, googly eye things. And
sure.
Sometimes you're bored, you need to googly eye.
And eventually we made I don't think the original concept was that we were going to have googly eyes on them. And then one day we just put two and two together that we should do that. And so
it makes a big difference.
We debuted, and it has now become the hallmark of the show. Everyone knows us as the googly eye, the googly eye guys. And, like, its debut was at the Fresh Blend Jam one night where Max was gotten to host, and he asked me to co-host. I'm like, no. We're going to get a talking book to co-host. And I hid behind the window at IB a ruler on a book on a tape to a ruler that we call Booker.
Mm.
And I was his co-host.
Yeah.
And it was delightful.
It was one of the best things we've ever done. I think, yeah. At the end, we hadn't been planning it, but so we were hosting the jam, right? So then we were doing a library jam, like taking inspiration from books, reading books, like doing half the scene from a book, half the scene from improv. And the final jam, Booker was like, you know what? I'm gonna go for it. And jumped in, which we hadn't planned.
So the audience was demanding that Booker do improv.
I think Rachel Klein made out with Booker.
That happened.
Yeah.
That might have happened.
It might have happened. It's all mixed up in my brain.
Yeah.
I saw you guys perform with Improv Jones, and you did Max and Mark are very popular before that, and saw all the characters, and it was awesome. And it's interesting because you guys really weren't on stage together up until the end.
Mm-hmm.
It was either one of you with one of the what would you even call
them? We call them our friends.
Yeah,
with one of your friends.
Yeah,
but it didn't feel like. It felt very natural, too. Like,
good.
The friends have their own distinct personalities.
Oh, good. Good. That's what we go for.
Yeah.
There's more thought that goes into it than, like, I think people realize at first blush. Because, like, it's pretty dumb.
It's a pretty dumb. What we say is when we're off stage, this is the dumbest thing we ever do. When we're on stage, it is the smartest. and we commit as much as we can to it.
So, we began to notice, like, certain objects had certain limitations.
Mm.
So, like, we have a game of Guess Who, and we put eyes on it. And, like, obviously, what you do with a box of Guess Who that talks is that every conversation turns into a game of Guess Who. And, like,
awesome.
That's funny, but we can only do that so many times. Whereas, like, with a talking book or a talking pot.
A talking tea kettle?
Right. Like, you can go more places because some objects just lend themselves to one joke and then you've done it and you really don't want to do it again.
Whereas other objects, like, lend themselves to a personality and an outlook. Like, they have much more of a lens you can look through.
Do you choose your object with purpose, or do you just grab something and see where it goes?
It depends. At the start of the show, we grab something and we see where it goes. As we get closer to the end, we try and reincorporate objects. We try and find objects that, like, work with the storyline that we're setting up. But, you know, when we're starting out, we're getting out there and we're figuring out what's going on and who we're doing it with. So it's just like anything that's in the bag. We just put our hand in, pull it out, and we go and talk to it.
At the Improv Jones show, and it's kind of like what you were describing at the jam, the friends got involved with the improv at the end as well.
Yeah. So the two shows we did at the Riot last month, we had First Impact the week before.
Mm-hmm.
Is the first time we've ever been given an hour. And we had wanted to do this for the longest time, is bring on a guest, let them do their show, but then halfway through the show start invading it, we call it. And it's been so much fun because, especially at the Improv Jones show, I really got the sense that the audience was not expecting it and that they were just, like, delighted when it happened.
Yeah. And it works with the scenes, too, because they're, like, sea scenes and the sea captain hat.
Right. Yep. we let them go for a while because we don't want it to feel like, oh, another group is just doing Max and Mark are very popular. So we let them, like, establish their plot, and we don't butt in until they're well into it. And then we've been impressed at how easily people interact with them.
Yeah.
Like, there's a few, like, golden rules we have for how to, like, to treat it. But then, like, people get into it very easily.
It's almost like puppets in some way.
Yeah, as long as you treat it like it's real. And, you know, we're doing a lot of the work. A lot of heavy lifting.
My favorite experience with the show is watching the audience. Because, and, like, I've had this experience several times. It's, like, the initial reaction is just utter skepticism.
Usually, like, the first, like, two scenes we do for any show, is the audience is just silent. They just don't understand that what we're doing. They're like, think we're gonna, like, snap out of it or stop doing it. But then, as they realize that we are committed to this idea, we're gonna be talking to things we've just put googly eyes on stage all night, the laughs just start growing and growing.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys, in the show I saw, you were kind of a, Max was kind of a slacker, and Mark was kind of trying to get him to step up his game.
Cleaning wise,
do you fall into those roles, or is it just kind of?
No, we do whatever the show really demands. In another show, I was trying to move a couch in the basement up the basement stairs, and I got lost in a series of subterranean tunnels. And all of Mark's scenes were very much like a back at the ranch sort of thing.
I was doing chores, and, like, Max was fighting mole people.
Is there a particular friend that people seem to like the most?
Booker, Detergent, and Kettlesby are probably the three ones that people seem to like the most. Although I was murdered by a spatula one time, which will always have a special place in my heart.
What's the spatula's name?
Spats.
He was there for that one show. It was the best show we've ever done. And
I got into a physical fight with a spatula and lost. It actually broke my glasses.
It broke my glasses.
That's why he's never been back.
Always couldn't top that, you know? Also, spatulas are non-stick, so it's hard to get the googly eyes to stay on.
So I think one of the friends is here today.
Oh, yeah, actually. We brought Booker along.
Nice. The most popular one of them all.
Yeah.
What's going on, Booker?
How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing good. Do you want to just take me? It's interesting. I've never interviewed a book before.
That's all right. We're fairly underrepresented, so.
You have some improv chops.
Thank you.
How did you get involved with improv?
Well, I was born at a printing press in Albuquerque.
All right.
Then they put me on a big truck to Massachusetts. My first job was at a library. I was a book.
Ah, yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. Got taken out a few times. Got a little wet. And then they sold me off to a used bookstore. And then Max met me at the bookstore.
Yeah, Lorem Ipsum. That's why I mentioned it earlier.
Oh, yeah. That was a great place.
Shut down recently.
Oh, I'm really sad to hear that.
Yeah, me too.
That was home for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They had a really nice dictionary. His name was Christine. Do you know how she is?
We didn't talk.
Oh.
Well, anyway. What do you think happened to all your book friends there?
I hope they got into very nice homes.
I tried to use as much of my store credit as I could to you know, to get to pick them up. But a lot of them are just in storage somewhere, I think.
Max is a real saint.
I do my best. Yeah. I like to read.
You're a rescue book.
Hey. Yeah. I never thought of it that way, but yeah. Well, anyway, Max started doing improv at Improv Boston, and then one day he asked me if I wanted to do it, and said I didn't have to pay for the classes, he would just bring me, and then we did that one day at the gym, and it was fantastic.
Nice. What are your future, like, improv plans? Are you planning on leaving Max and Mark behind, or?
No, I literally can't leave.
He's got no legs.
We're gonna see how the show works without Mark.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it'll be just fine.
Yeah. I think Max is very popular. It's gonna be a good show.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of good supporting friends. You know, we've got a big cast.
Wouldn't you want your name to be in the title, you know, if Mark is leaving?
I mean, it could be Max and Booker are very popular.
Well, I don't want to downplay the contributions of all of my other friends.
Well, you've been downplaying this the whole time, so I don't see what the problem
is. Well, it's just a huge cast.
Well, you
list.
Said I was the most popular one.
Okay,
Max.
Like you and Kettlesby and Detergent, but we can't have Max and Kettlesby and Booker
and
Detergent.
How about Booker and Kettlesby are very popular, and you're not in the show?
Well, okay, first of all, how would you get on stage?
You would bring me there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And why would I do that if I'm not in the show, Booker?
Because you're nice. Because you support my art. Like I support yours.
I'm not trying to cause any conflict here.
Well, now you've done it, Tom!
I'm sorry.
Well, Booker, let's just see where it goes, okay?
I want to do a one book show.
Look, I'm sure there's definitely something in the kerfuffle for that.
How about a book doing a reading of another book?
Isn't that, like, kind of sexual?
No, will you...
Only if it's a romance novel.
Why do we... No.
Oh, whoa, hey.
No, that's fine. That is totally kosher book humor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I didn't want to overreact. I know you're a little sensitive sometimes.
Yeah, well, you read aggressively.
Can I ask you something, Booker?
Sure.
Books like you, paper, hard copy books, are kind of going away. Everything's on Kindle now. You know, bookstores are going away. How do you feel about that?
I really don't know, Tom. I think a little of humanity is lost with the rise of technology. So I would say, honestly, you're in decline, too. We're defining ourselves more and more with our online selves. I think there will always be a place for paper books. I'm not going away anytime soon. I know they're Max's medium of choice.
Do you have a problem with, like, e-books and Kindle books?
I have a problem when they think they're better than you.
I hear you.
I notice a lot of extra typos in them. They're easier to publish, so I think the standard of quality is lower. Also, they can't do improv.
That's true.
Good point.
Yeah. So,
they're not, you know, if they fall down, they just break.
Yeah.
You know,
suck on that Kindle.
Ah.
I'm gonna have a microphone problem here.
All right. So, Booker, you have no intention of, trying to get on main stage or anything.
Why would you assume something like that?
Well, no. But I am trying to get an improv library started up.
Oh, yeah. That sounds exciting.
So maybe you could meet some of your fellow improv books.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, to be honest, Tom, I'd love to try to get on main stage. They did not let me into auditions. I cannot figure out why.
That's just, it's not right.
It's blatant discrimination.
It is.
There's no books on the cast right now.
It's true.
I think you'll get some feedback after this podcast. There's maybe some protests at IB.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
I mean, people have always been very very pro-Booker. I think Booker has what it takes. He's very charismatic, I think. He has what it takes to take human book relations to the next level, really.
Yeah. It's the dream.
Speaking of main stage and future goals, what do you guys have planned? What's your... Where do you want to go eventually?
Well, I don't know, man. I like doing improv. It's one of the ways I just enjoy myself most. I'm probably not going to go for professional comedian because that is too much work and too uncertain. But I don't know. I'd like to spread my wings a little bit. I'm looking forward to hopefully being cast on another Top Shelf team. I mean, I've always wanted to do like a TJ and Dave style improv thing. But... I don't really have anyone to do that with, because Mark's moving.
Well, I'm right here, Max. So
that was just rude, Max.
I'm sorry, Booker. Yeah,
I don't know what to do.
We could try.
You're literally holding.
I know. I'm sorry. Okay. Look, Booker. Yeah. I'll consider it.
All right.
Okay.
You just get him a nice stand. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You want to, maybe I could put you on a Roomba?
Maybe put me on a robot body.
I'd like that, actually.
That'd be awesome.
My friend Pete works at the Museum of Science. He could probably jimmy up something.
Done.
Yeah. And as far as that, you know, I'm going to continue doing Magic the Gathering the show, doing whatever I can get my hooks into. That looks fun.
Cool.
I'm going away. I hope
like
to
you go to jail.
Comedy in some aspect. I doubt I will stop completely. I really like it here. Other than the fact that my next year is very, very, very booked.
Woo!
Yeah. Okay. So, like, I mean, if I were staying, I would have been in auditions and, like, checked off every box. This has always been, I mean, it's a hobby for me, but it's a hobby I love a lot. It has taken over a lot of my time and a lot of my social life, and that's great. And it has always, for me, not been about climbing. Just, like, there have been several times in my improv career where I'm just perfectly happy with what I was doing. Like, got the exact right amount that I want. I am not aggressively gunning to be a star. I just, like, it's fun, and I treat it that way. And
that's awesome, and that's, I think, the attitude a lot of people should have. Myself included, just get so caught up in, like, wanting to be the best and wanting to, you know, just always pushing yourself to go to these levels where it becomes stressful and not fun anymore.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wisdom in you know, being content with being where you're at. And I think everybody should look back on, you know, what they do and try to enjoy it, because that's what we're really doing is improvising.
Yeah.
Last round of auditions, like, all I said was, like, I just want to keep doing Viceroy. And, like, people were giving me, like, this, what do you mean you're not trying out for main stage? I'm like, I like what I'm doing now, and I just want to keep doing that.
Mm.
Like, you know? Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
It's, yeah. Viceroy was a great team to be on. And I agree. It's like, it was just wonderful to have a home base with people who are fun, you know, with people who are fun to play with, where you can do shows, you know, improve as an improviser, but mostly just have fun. Know you've got a show to do and people to work with who are just fantastic. Mark's always been, you know, my go-to guy vis-a-vis scene work. You know, I've always known, like, if I get out there, I know Mark's going to get what I'm going for. I'm going to miss having him around.
Yeah. It's a really good experience when you have been on a team with somebody for a while and you just can read each other and know where their head's at. And it takes a while to get there.
Yeah.
What do you guys have coming up?
Well, I've got Magic the Gathering, the show, this Saturday, and the first Saturday of every month. We've got a show on the 20th of June and the 17th of June as well, as Max and Mark. The 17th is our comedy lab. And the 20th is we're doing another hour show with Food Truck, which is the improvised food truck.
I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
Because everyone on Food Truck is super talented.
Super talented.
Their entire sketch already revolves around kitchenware. So done.
Yeah.
And, like, it was just a real happy, like, because I had put in the application for this round of shows, and I'm like, listen, I'm leaving in August. We just want an hour to do whatever we want, and they gave it to us, and I'm so excited for that show.
Yeah, awesome. It's going to be...
Oh. It was just kind of validation.
It's going to be the best. I'm really excited for it.
I'm producing a show with Rachel Andelman. It revolves around fairy tales in early July, the dreaded July 4th spot, and the 11th. It's going to be a parent and their child reading fairy tales before bed, but all the fairy tales are going to be guest groups. So it's like
awesome.
Improv inspiring larger improv, kind of in a Princess Diary sort of frame. I mean, Princess Bride,
Bride
of frame.
Mm-hmm. Princess
and
Bride Diaries.
Princess Bride Diaries. That was a weird movie.
Yeah.
And then later that month, I will be in True Defective, which is a true detective improv show.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Before I forget, I do want to thank our director, Josh Michelle.
Yes, Josh directs Max and Mark show.
Yeah, he puts it that we need calibrating more than directing, which is very flattering. But he's really helped us figure out what to smooth out, what to roughen up, what works to make the show what it is. Just so many thanks to Josh Michelle, and like, we would not be doing as good a show as we are today without him.
He just sits at rehearsal with his head in his hands, yeah. Asking why. What am I doing at 7 p.m. far away from my home, watching this in a lonely room?
Well, it's not lonely. There's all sorts of friends there.
Yes, Booker, there are.
I just wanted to say,
you're right.
I feel like we're being negative.
You're right.
I have feelings, too.
Why not?
All right, well, thanks, Mac. Max.
It's the plural of Mac.
When I get on his shoulders and we put on a big trench coat, it's called Mac.
Thanks, Max. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Booker.
Bye.
And, thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
This has been a great time.
Thanks. Appreciate you guys coming on.
We appreciate being on.
All right, and thanks for listening.